Today on Real Radio.
On and on it goes. All from the prayer of a woman. She continued praying in her grief and her bitterness of soul. She's praying, and she stayed at it, by the way. She continued. She stayed at praying.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse look at the book of 1 Samuel. We're in chapter 1 where Hannah, who up to this point had been unable to conceive a child, she was in distress, and she asks God, the God of Israel, she says she wants a son. In verses 12 through 20, we read what happened after that prayer was offered up. Here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Life. When the bottom drops out.
And it's amazing to me that in every one of our lives, there are things going on in our lives, and God is waiting to hear a prayer of specifics from us. And you might say, well, Jack, if I learn the prayer of specifics in the situation of my life, will the pain go away? I don't know, maybe. It seems to here. But more than the pain going away is God, in his infinite wisdom, which I'm not always fond of, him bringing about a work that is of eternal consequences. God works character into our lives. I don't get it. Why doesn't God just kill us the moment we become Christians so we can go home and enjoy eternity with him? Or if it's a character thing, Lord, why don't you deal with my, just give me a great character after I'm in heaven? Why do I have to go through trials and tribulations now? But he has not once listened to me about this, so. We pick up in verse 12 tonight, and it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth, Eli being the priest. Now Hannah had spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk, so Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put away your wine from you. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went on her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Life, when the bottom drops out, the first thing that I want you to consider in our study in verses 12 to 15, regarding life and when the bottom drops out, is how often when this happens, it magnifies our frailty. And I want to teach tonight having Hannah as an opposite of what might go on in our lives. We're going to use Hannah as an example of what to do. Often, when we feel that the bottom has dropped out of our lives, it magnifies our frailty. There is not one person in this sanctuary who is not keenly aware of your own frailty. So deep does this awareness and pain run in some of our lives that we go to great lengths to hide our frailty. We will avoid almost anything to expose our frailty. It's the way of the world. Many people will say, you Christians, you have your crutch, this Jesus, this crutch of yours. The reason why Jesus is our crutch is because we have come to grips with our frailty. Does that offend you? I am frail. I tell you, somebody who thinks they got the world by the tail. You see a lot of yuppies, they're running around today. In fact, do they even call them yuppies anymore? They don't, do they? They just call them millionaires, you know? We just have a bunch of them running around. These young punks, they don't know what to do with their money. They're so young, too smart, and too rich for their age. Running around, and they think they're it, you know? That's it. And until you know, they often, this is a real problem, they get married. And you got a male yuppie and a female yuppie, and they come together and they want to have guppies or whatever they have, and they can't get pregnant. This is a real problem in America. This is one of the expensive prices of prosperity and hard work. They work so hard and they've got such stressful jobs that many have become impotent in their ability to reproduce. And it is a syndrome in yuppiedom that they cannot produce. It's a real medical problem. And the cure is you need to get a less stressful job. You need to take a break, take it easy, and back off. They tell us, physicians do, that the pressure upon these performers is so great that they often suffer and break down, and, quote, their kingdom falls from within. They break down. Frailty. The bottom drops out when we get our eyes off of God and our frailty is magnified and we're overwhelmed. And you might say, Jack, you're kind of bordering on the bit of psychology here. You know what? Maybe I am. But the fact remains that you and I are keenly aware of our frailty. Now, what do we learn from this? We see, first of all, we can be deceived by our feelings, and they'll render us helpless or in a state of helplessness when we allow our frailty to consume us. We get our eyes off of God, and then we realize, oh, my goodness, I can't handle this any further. Hannah didn't do that. She wept and cried out to God. And listen, so often our emotions, our feelings deceive us, and we get overwhelmed with a sense of helplessness. And I want to ask you, and I'm going to ask you a lot tonight, do you ever feel helpless? And that helpless feeling also can be felt as hopelessness or loneliness, a great pressure of isolation. We get overwhelmed with our frailty, and so we begin to sense a great and deep helplessness. Look at Hannah's example. It says, and it happened as she continued praying before God. I don't know if you're going to like it or not. It doesn't matter. I don't know if I do either, but it's a fact. Listen, she continued praying. And you say, Jack, don't tell me to keep praying about the situation that I'm dealing with. Listen, friend, you may be like the 49ers. I don't mean the football team. I mean the 1849ers. Many of them worked and searched for a vein of gold, picking up a little dust here and there and a couple of nuggets along the way, but quit 1 inch away from the greatest, most colossal vein ever discovered on earth. And the man, by the way, who had that stake, quit 1 inch away, sold it for a couple of bucks, and the next guy took it, took his pick and struck it, and it hit the greatest vein ever exposed in the earth. Quitting a moment too soon. We so often go to prayer, and if God doesn't hear our prayer, and maybe we'll even pray two times about it, and we'll give up on it. We can be deceived by our feelings, and they'll render us helpless or in a state of helplessness. When we allow our frailty to consume us, we get our eyes off of God, and then we realize, oh, my goodness, I can't handle this any further. Hannah didn't do that. She wept and cried out to God. And listen, so often our emotions, our feelings deceive us, and we get overwhelmed with a sense of helplessness. And I want to ask you, and I'm going to ask you a lot tonight, do you ever feel helpless? And that helpless feeling also can be felt as hopelessness or loneliness. A great pressure of isolation. We get overwhelmed with our frailty, and so we begin to sense a great and deep helplessness. Look at Hannah's example. It says, and it happened as she continued praying before God. I don't know if you're going to like it or not. It doesn't matter. I don't know if I do either, but it's a fact. Listen, she continued praying. And you say, Jack, don't tell me to keep praying about the situation that I'm dealing with. Listen, friend, you may be like the 49ers. I don't mean the football team. I mean the 1849ers. Many of them worked and searched for a vein of gold, picking up a little dust here and there and a couple of nuggets along the way, but quit 1 inch away from the greatest, most colossal vein ever discovered on earth. And the man, by the way, who had that stake, quit 1 inch away, sold it for a couple of bucks, and the next guy took it, took his pick and struck it, and it hit the greatest vein ever exposed in the earth. Quitting a moment too soon. We so often go to prayer, and if God doesn't hear our prayer, and maybe we'll even pray two times about it, and we'll give up on it. Well, that's a sad thing. We are byproducts of our culture. Give it to me and give it to me now. We are the instant generation. I want it now. I want it fast, and I want it fresh, and I want it ready. And it's, you know, next thing we're going to want is somebody to eat it for us. And Hannah's example is that, look, it says, and it happened as she continued praying, verse 12, before the Lord. I love this. I have this highlighted. Happened and continued. You can't separate the two. What happened? What happened? I want to ask that question. Well, the whole rest of the book happened. What happened? 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. On it goes. All from the prayer of a woman. She continued praying in her grief, in her bitterness of soul. She's praying, and she stayed at it, by the way. She continued. She stayed at praying. Luke chapter 11, Jesus tells us, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now, I don't know if we believe this verse. What do you mean? I don't know if we believe it. I find that highly offensive. I believe everything in the Bible. Well, then why don't we act like it then? How long have you been praying for something? Is there something in your life that you've been praying years for? I hear about women. I hear about men who have been praying for the conversion of their wife or their husband 10, 12, 15, 25 years. And then he comes to Christ or she comes to Christ. I just wonder what would happen if they'd give up or if they would have given up. Jesus said, ask. See, this is how we go. Jesus says, ask and it will be given. That's as far as we read. Lord, I want. Golly, it's been like 30 seconds. I don't have it yet. Well, if you keep reading, he says, seek. That now means to get your, you know, Sherlock Holmes magnifying glass out and start pursuing. Seek. Hunt. Search out. Then he says, knock. And what's implied, if you read that chapter 11 of Luke's gospel, it's knock, knock, and keep on knocking. It doesn't say, don't get me wrong, get a buttress and whack and whack until it comes down. He says knock. Doesn't say slap. Doesn't say blow it up. He says knock. I hear so many times, well, I prayed, and then look what the Lord did. He opened this door, and I'm sitting here listening to this story, and it's tough. I won't comment on these issues when someone says, well, I did this, and you can see it in their eyes. You can see, like, the whole, you can see what they wanted. It's there. You can see it right in their eyes. And I did this, and then, you know what? And I went, and I pushed, and then I got a bunch of dynamite, and the door blew open. And I said, thank you, Lord. That was so great. God opened up such a beautiful door. And don't you think it's neat what the Lord's done? And I can't respond. I can't. I have to look at them and go, wow. And, it's pathetic because sometimes they've got, their hair is blown to bits. They look like they got gunpowder all over them. Their clothes are all blown up. And they're trying to convince me that God did it. And they look like a cartoon. I don't think God did it. Well, the Lord has called us to this or to that or the other. And, well, how do you know? Got this burning in my bosom. It's just, we really feel it's the right thing to do. I bet you Hannah sometimes felt like strangling Peniah. Peniah, help me hang out these clothes to dry, will you? Huh. She prayed, things happened. Prayer always invites, listen, the will of God into the situation that we're praying about. Prayer was never given to us, nor is it intended for us to get our way with God. Did you know that? If I just pray hard enough, I know this thing's going to happen. No, you shouldn't think like that. You should say, if I just keep at prayer, my will is going to be united with the perfect will of God. And the very thing I'm crying about may not be worth crying about, for crying out loud. As I pray, it may be that very thing that God brings my heart into alignment with his perfect will. My eyes will be opened and I will no longer want what I think I want. I will rejoice in what he has decreed for me.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Life When the Bottom Drops Out. It's a look at part of the opening chapter of this Old Testament account, which tells us about the life of this prophet and judge over Israel. We'll hear more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. And of course, today being Friday means that we bring you another Ask Pastor Jack segment. Ask Pastor Jack's a great way of getting your Bible-related questions answered right here on Real Radio. Send your question, if you'd like, to AskPastorJack at RealRadioActive.org. That's AskPastorJack at RealRadioActive.org. Now, sometimes we get Pastor Jack into the studio here, but he also gives his answers from the pulpit, just like we're doing today. And by the way, we always try to answer as many as we possibly can. Here's our Ask Pastor Jack question for this week. It's on the topic of suicide. Dear Pastor Jack, I had friends who both died. He beat her to death and then took a gun and shot himself afterwards. I went to church with them for many years and heard both their testimonies for many years. He'd lost his job and they moved and they seemed to lose their way. In retrospect, I believe that they are in heaven. Would I be wrong? What about Whitney Houston? I heard her interviewed and her testimony on several occasions. Is she with the Lord?
Okay, first of all, I have a great luxury right now and I want to keep it this way, so that you all get an honest answer. Tragically, it's going to be at someone's expense, okay? You understand what I just said? I don't know who asked this question. It's a horrible situation to live through. If I heard you right, because it's kind of hard to hear up here, that there was a man and a woman, and he lost his job, apparently depressed, whatever, but he beat her to death and then shot himself? But the writer said, but I believe they're in heaven. Okay, I have to ask you this question. On what grounds do you believe they're in heaven? Why do you believe that? How did you come to that conclusion that they're in heaven? You see, like many things in our lives, our emotions begin to dictate theology. What you're really saying is, I want them to be in heaven. The truth is this. Honest, brutal truth is this. You don't know where they're at. And I would be a very terrible pastor if I told you, oh, don't worry about it because they're probably in heaven. Why? Because they went forward at the crusade, or they raised their hand, or they owned Bibles, or they went to church sometimes. That's not how you get to heaven, guys. My emotions want to tell you that they're in heaven so that you'll feel better. My theology says, the Bible teaches me, you don't know. I don't know. If we apply other portions of Scripture that says you'll know them by their fruits, the Bible says that no murderer inherits heaven, we would come back emotionally and say, well, how many people do you have to murder before you're a murderer? so that you don't inherit heaven. You see what I'm saying? This is a tough thing. And then on top of the fact that the man himself, the man beat someone to death, his wife or girlfriend, was it a wife? Wife beat her to death, which is premeditated murder. You might accidentally hit somebody the first time, but the second hit is premeditated murder. It's a manslayer. And then he kills himself? This is a very horrible, tragic situation. The truth is, you have no idea if they're in heaven or not. But let me just say this, that for all of us, me, you, us, we really don't know what we're really spiritually made of until we are put in the crucible of fire. You guys, this is why we have to have trials. None of us sign up for trials. None of us want a trial. But do you understand something? Without a trial, you and I will never know if we have real, true, saving faith. It's the difficult things. Look, some of you are unemployed. Some of you are battling depression. Some of you are battling existence. Some of you are whatever it is. Do you understand? You are experiencing, Book of James, your fiery trial in life. And how you come through that proves your faith. This is tough stuff, you guys. This is reality. Whitney Houston, let me ask you something. Honestly, I'm not being rude right now. What evidence do you have that Whitney Houston's in heaven? Have you noticed, have you watched since Whitney Houston committed, is it official suicide or they're not sure yet? They're not sure yet. Let's assume for a second it's a suicide. Have you noticed that the world, Hollywood, have you noticed how quick, instantly, they were to announce, thank God Whitney's in heaven. Instantly. They don't know much, but they know this, Whitney's in heaven. And they had a service with Christians in the service. They had Christians doing the service. Okay, that's great. But they never announced, and they wouldn't announce how a person gets to heaven. When we are emotionally caught up with somebody, we have a tendency to put the best light on it. The Whitney Houston situation is a tragedy. I don't know. I have no knowledge. I'm not qualified to say if she was a Christian or not. I didn't know her. Probably you didn't know her. What we say we are means absolutely nothing. And I don't know. Remember, I don't know her. I don't know. But what we say we are has no bearing in eternity. None. See, in life, we can tell people anything about us. And they're suckers enough to believe it. Men are duped constantly. We all are duped by appearance. God says, I will look at your life and then I will tell you what you are. Read Revelation 22 again. How you live matters, friends. You just can't run around saying, praise the Lord, I'm a Christian, and live like hell and expect to go to heaven. It is impossible. Even the thief on the cross turned from his wicked ways. Okay, that's a very sad thing to have to answer.
Wow, tough topic indeed. Thanks, Pastor Jack. Pastor Jack Hibbs from the pulpit on the subject of eternal salvation even after committing suicide. Now, obviously, Pastor Jack addresses quite a large range of questions and issues in our Ask Pastor Jack segment. Email your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. You may hear the answer from the pulpit. You may hear it when we drag Pastor Jack here into the studio. askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.